All right, so today we're going to be jumping into something pretty fascinating, huh? This Book of Joel. Have you ever heard of it?
Oh, yeah, I've spent some time with Joel.
It's wild, right? It's one of those texts that really kind of throws you for a loop, you know? It's got all this talk about divine judgment, plagues, natural disasters. But then there's this whole other side to it, too, this idea of repentance and restoration.
Absolutely. Like, is there a chance to kind of turn things around, make things right again?
Exactly. And that's what we're going to be digging into today. We've got some excerpts from a secular analysis of Joel to help us kind of unpack everything.
Awesome.
So get ready for some seriously intense imagery. We're talking locust swarms, the day of the Lord, all that good stuff.
The day of the Lord, always a good time.
Always a good time. But really, though, it's these ancient concepts, and we're going to see how they might still kind of speak to us today. You know, what do they mean for us now?
Right.
So to kick things off, one of the first things that really struck me about Joel is that we know next to nothing about the guy, about Joel himself, I mean. Like, who was this guy? When did he live? What was his deal?
Total mystery. I mean, we're not even 100% sure when the book was written. Some scholars think it's around 835 BCE,
Okay.
but then others put it way later, like closer to 400 BCE.
Wow, that's a big difference.
Huge gap. So right from the start, you're already dealing with all these layers of mystery and history.
Yeah, like trying to solve a puzzle where half the pieces are missing.
Exactly.
But even without all the backstory, the book, it really grabs you, you know? And for me, it's those locusts. Like, whoa, talk about intense imagery.
Oh, yeah.
Joel paints this picture of this, I don't know, this plague of biblical proportions, these locusts just devouring everything in sight, leaving nothing but destruction in their wake.
It's like imagine looking out at your fields, right?
Yeah.
And all you see is this swarm of insects as far as the eye can see. Total apocalypse.
Total apocalypse. And for the people living back then, I mean, this must have been absolutely terrifying. They saw it as like a direct message from God.
A sign of divine wrath.
Yeah. But we look at it today and we have this whole different understanding, right?
Right. We know that locust swarms, while terrifying, they are a natural phenomenon. They're influenced by environmental factors, by climate.
Yeah.
So it creates this really interesting tension
Totally.
between that ancient interpretation, divine punishment, and our more modern scientific view. Like, how do you reconcile those two perspectives?
That's a great question for our listeners out there. Like, think about that for a second. You know, how much of how we see the world, how much of that is shaped by when and where we live? It's something to ponder.
It really is. It makes you think. And this whole tension between how people saw things then and now, it continues as we get into this idea of the day of the Lord, right?
Yeah, the day of the Lord.
It's described as this huge event, this day of reckoning, when God's going to judge, everybody, the righteous and the wicked. But it's not just about punishment, right?
Right.
Joel also suggests that it's, I don't know, like an opportunity, maybe, like a chance for repentance and renewal, a fresh start.
Okay.
It's a chance to turn things around.
It's interesting because it kind of brings in this whole idea of collective responsibility too. It's like Joel's suggesting that the fate of the entire community, it all depends on what they do together. If the people turn back to God, repent for, you know, whatever they've done wrong, then things will get better. The land will be restored.
Restoration.
But if they don't, well, you know, it doesn't sound good.
Not good at all.
It really kind of makes you think, though, about our responsibility, not just for ourselves, but for like the whole community, for everyone around us.
Absolutely. I mean, do our actions have impact on the world around us? Can we actually change things collectively? Change our course? These are like fundamental questions. And these are questions that Joel brings up way back then.
Big questions, for sure. And then just when you think it can't get any more intense, Joel throws in all this vivid cosmic imagery. I'm talking about the sun going dark, the moon turning blood red, stars falling from the sky. It's like something out of a movie, some crazy apocalyptic blockbuster.
And that's the point. It's supposed to be this powerful, almost larger than life language that evokes this sense of awe and terror. I mean, can you imagine living back then and seeing or even thinking you're seeing these things happening?
It would be terrifying.
And it would be a very literal interpretation. But for us today, I don't know, maybe these images have like symbolic meanings.
Yeah.
What do you think? What do they represent for you? These images of like cosmic upheaval, what anxieties or hopes do they tap into?
I like that. Good question for the listeners. What do you think? Let us know. But, you know, as we're exploring all these really deep, kind of heavy themes, we also run into some stuff in Joel that might feel, I don't know, maybe a little uncomfortable for us today, you know, reading it with our modern sensibilities.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Like, for example, there's this whole idea of divine retribution against Israel's enemies.
Right.
Joel talks about God avenging his people, punishing those who have, you know, done wrong.
Yeah, it's very much rooted in that ancient eye for an eye kind of justice,
yeah.
You know, very different from our modern emphasis on like universal justice and forgiveness.
Right, totally.
And it really highlights how much our values have, well, evolved.
Right, right.
So it definitely raises a lot of questions for us today. How do we make sense of this idea of divine vengeance? Does it challenge our own beliefs about morality, you know, about accountability?
Yeah, yeah. And it pushes us, you know, it forces us to think critically about how our own ethical frameworks have, well, as you said, how they've changed over time. Mm-hmm. It's been quite the journey today going through Joel. We've covered a lot of ground from, you know, trying to figure out who Joel even was to like grappling with all these different interpretations of natural events, thinking about ancient versus modern views, and then all these ethical dilemmas.
Yeah. Divine judgment, collective punishment.
It's a lot.
It makes you think.
It really does.
But, you know, one of the most amazing things about the book of Joel is that even though it was written thousands of years ago, it still has something to say to us.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
It challenges us, right? It makes us think about justice, about suffering, about the possibility of change, transformation. It reminds us that even these ancient texts can offer real insights into, well, what it means to be human even today.
I love that. So listeners, keep those wheels turning.
Keep thinking.
Keep thinking. And until next time.
Happy reading.
Happy reading.